When you will count, what you see means to lift up. When you will lift up, Esreish, the heads, B'nai Yisrael, lefkudihim, according to their number, v'nasinu, each koifer nafsha, each man shall give the koifer the redemption of his neshama l'Hashem, bifkoid, or some when you count them, and v'loye vohem negef, bifkoid, or some, so that there shall not be any negef, any plague when you count them. Okay, so we're translating over the word counting. I'm translating the word bifkod is we are planning here to count the Jewish people. And when we're going to count them, the way you're going to count them is by each person giving koifer nefesh. Koifer nefesh. We have this principle when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, to Yom Kippur, or Kaparis. They're going to give an object. The object they're going to give is going to be used for two purposes. Number one, it's going to be used to count. You're not going to count them directly. You're going to count them indirectly. Number two, being that the money, the object that you are using to count them, is going to be used as a tzedakah, so to speak, this will bring atonement for any sin, and that will prevent any danger that may come upon them through the process of counting. So in other words, there are two principles. Number one is, do not count them directly. If you count them directly, that's very dangerous. That can be ayin hara, whatever it is. So don't do that. So what's the next best thing to do? Count them indirectly. However, counting indirectly is also partially dangerous. The only difference is, there's a way to remove the danger when you count them indirectly, if you'll do it in such a way where they will bring atonement upon themselves in the process. So don't you dare count them directly. Don't go number them one by one. Count them indirectly. And when you count them indirectly, it's not very dangerous. It's only a little dangerous. And you could avoid the small danger if you'll do it in a way where they will have kapara. How do they get kapara? By giving tzedakah. When they give money and the money is going to be used in the Beis HaMikdash, so that will take away any possible issue. Okay, there's a lot more going on. Let's see right away to the Rashi, and we'll get into the Targum. Ki sisa, lashon Kabbalah, ki targumai, ki shetachbaitz lekabel skum minyanam ledas kamehim. Rashi over here says the word kisisa. Rashi is already controversial. Harashi translates the word kisisa means when you will accept. When you will, sisa means to lift. We would like to literally translate the word kisisa means to lift up, but that's not what he says. Kisisa here means when you will accept. You will, l'shoin kabbalah, you will take. What are you taking? You're taking their number. You want a census. L'shoin kabbalah, kitargumai. Okay, we'll have to see this argument in a moment. What are you accepting? You are taking their precise number. Kishetachpoitz l'kabel, when you will desire to accept the skum, the total number of minyan, number of their number, l'das, to know, kamehem, what is the total number, al tim name l'gulgoyles, do not count them directly, do not have them walk in front of you and count their heads, ela, yidnu kol echad machsis ha-shekel. Everyone should give a machsa shekel, and you'll count, u'bitimne es ha-shkolim v'teidim yolam. And then after everyone gives the machsa shekel, you'll count the machsa shekel, and you'll know the number. Now, by doing so, what is the advantage? Rashi here is introducing us to a principle that a number Rashi introduces, a thing called ayin hara, which is a very Kabbalistic principle, which is not something which is natural. Why in the world of nature should it make a difference? In the world of nature, it doesn't make a difference if you count the person. What's ayin hara all about? So this is a Kabbalistic principle. If you're going to count them directly, you're going to bring upon them ayin hara, and therefore do not count them. V'hadever ba'alayhem, a plague comes upon them. K'may shematzinu b'imei David. David made a fatal mistake. He counted the Jewish people, and it was a dever. Every single day, 100 people died. And David, to counteract that plague, he instituted that everyone should say every single day 100 blessings. And the brachos counteracted the danger of the census. Okay, so that's Pasuk Yud Beis. Now, there's obviously a lot more going on over here. Let's right over here go to the Targum. Ma'alil Hashem Moshe L'meim. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Are Tekabel. So here is where Rashi, for a change, gave Uncleus a compliment. A compliment. You're right. Uncleus, you're right. Tekabel, if you will accept. Yos Hushban B'nei Yisrael, you will accept the calculation of the Jewish people according to Leminyo and Nehon, according to their number. When you will wish to do this, how should you go about this process? The answer is V'yitnun Gvar, every man shall give Purkan, the redemption, Nafshe of his soul, Kodom Hashem, before Hashem, Kad Timdei Yoshon, when you count them, V'loyehe V'hoin Mosa, there will be no death. Kad when Timdei Yoshon, there's a lot of verbosity, if you notice in this pasuk. That's what it is. Maybe we'll see him in Farshim. So now we go back to read the pasuk one more time with more precision. Ki siso, when you will wish to accept Esroish, Targum and Rashi translate the word Rosh to mean the number. Yos Chushban B'nei Yisrael. Since when does the word Rosh? No, I take that back. Lefkudin, I take that. I'm sorry, I was correct. Roish means the calculation. Lifkudei hem is lemin yonei hoin. What is the difference between the word lemin yonei hoin and the word chushban? What's the difference? When you want to go take the calculation of their number. Now, by the way, which word matches to which? Does the word chushban match the word Roish? Or does the word chushban match the word lifku dehem according to their number? Let's hold off on that. Maybe the Targum, which he has done in the past, he is reversing the words in his translation. We have two words. We have the word rosh, and we have the word lifku dehem. In the Targum, there are two words. There is the word chushban, a calculation, and there is the word lemin yonehon, which also means a calculation. Which word is matched to which? So you would suggest simply that the first word goes to the first and the second word goes to the second. The translation of the word as Rosh is the calculation, and the second word, Lefkudehem, according to their number, is Lemin Yonehoin, according to their number. A minion is a number. Okay, let's hold back one moment. And then next thing is they will give each man the Purka Nafshe, Kodem Hashem Katimne. And then he goes on to say, when you count them, okay, timne is the same word as lemin yonehoin, right? That's the same exact word. Bifkoid oisam. So here is the answer. Since here, when it says bifkoid oisam, it translates this when you count them. It must then be there. When it says lifku dehem, it means lemin yonehoin, which then means that Rosh means the Chushban. Because since we have two words, same exact word, Lefkudehem, and the word Bifkoid, and these two words mean, the Targum is the same word, Lemin Yonehoin, so then we know that when it says in the beginning of the Pasuk, when Kisitsa Es Rosh, when you accept Es Chushban. Now what does that mean exactly? You have to come, hold back on that for one moment. And V'lo Yevchon Mosod, there will be no death. Now this is a very scary word. He is translating the word Negef, Negev, to mean death. Who says it means death? Maybe Negev just means something bad happens. If Rashi started off, Rashi told us that the issue here is Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara brings death. Ayin Hara can bring a lot of things. I don't know what exactly is Ayin Hara, but it says Negev should not be death when Timnei Yosoin, when you count them. The word Pekoid appears in the Pasuk a grand total of three times. Now, let's see over here what it says. Then we'll come back to the Rashi to wrap it all up. First thing is over here is when you want to tekabel. The word kisisa means you accept. Okay, I can't read what it says over there. Okay, kavanos. I can't read. So, kishetachboitz. When you desire lekabel, skum minyanam. Okay. I can't even read it. It's a very bad copy here. I can do a good job. Siso loshoin miloshin siso eshaf. Let me get the chumash because I can't even read what I copied here. Give me one second. All right, so over here in, okay, so let me just read it's a little more clear here on the page, on the Chumash. Okay, so Kavanasai Kishatichbats Lakabal Skum, you know the Skum Minyanam, like Rashi says. Targum Sisa Lashon Kabbalah Lashon Sisa Shema Shav. Okay, this is very important. Here he cites over here the word, how do you know the word Sisa means to accept? We know this from Parashas Mishpatim. Lesiso Shema Shav. Do not accept a false report. This is a warning to a judge. Do not accept false witnesses. If you know the witnesses are false, however that may be, do not Lesiso Shema Shav. Do not accept. Shema means a report. Miloshon Shemia, to listen. Shav, false. Do not accept a false report. And here it's exactly the same word. Ki sisa es roish b'nei Yisrael. When it will be your desire to accept, to receive. Same exact word. V'loi perish sisa v'loshon minyanu sfira. The Targum refuses to translate the word ki sisa means to mean a number. A number. Shekevon shetirgim roish loshon cheshbon. Harei i'evshal lispar skum hacheshbon. Since the word roish means a calculation, it's impossible to count the total. V'chein ledas unkelis ein tisa loshon harama. Does not mean to lift up. Okay, then it goes further. It does not mean to lift up. For example, kamo yisa paru es roishcha. We have another translation, may power lift up your head. That was by the Sar Hamashkim. By the Sar Hamashkim, Yosef said that in 3 days from now, Yisa Paroi Es Roshcha. Paro will lift up your head. Doesn't mean count. Doesn't mean accept. It means he will elevate you. He will release you from your captivity, and he will raise you up to your former position. So maybe that's what it means over here. No. And he goes on to say that some of the commentators indeed, they do translate the word over here to mean to lift up. Okay. Let's just read the whole thing, then we put everything together, put the whole package together. Let's go further. The next word is chushban. Perish hamila roish shakavon sach cheshbon. Sisa means to accept. Es roish. Roish, we ordinarily like to think it means your head. But here, the Targum translates the word Rosh to mean a calculation. And why? How do you get that? Umibnei shaminig shaminig hachleshim. The custom is, what does it say over there? Umibnei shaminig hacheshbonim sheyichdivu hasach b'rosh hapratim nikra sach Rosh. Okay, it says over here something very deep. Why are we calling the word Rosh a calculation? And the answer is because people who make calculations on the top of the pile, they write down the total. Make believe you're counting dollar bills. So you count, you go and you have $100 bills. So what do people do, even though they're not supposed to do this? After they put together $100 bills, they tie a rubber band around the $100 bills and they take out a pen and they write on the top dollar bill 100. Where do they make the mark 100? On the very top. People who make calculations, when they finish the calculations, it is the custom to make a mark, an indication that this is the number, this is the cheshbon, this is the total number of objects that we have collected, and the calculation is put on the top. Therefore, that's why we call the word Rosh, it's a borrowed term, a calculation. Okay, next. Now, he quotes the Maral. Av Maral kosav shnikra cheshbon Rosh, mibnei sheha'klal hu, shemibnei sheha'klal hu igor, v'Rosh lipratim, sheha'pratim nichnasim tachas ha'klal. This is something which is more abstract, as the derech of the Maral is, to be abstract. A Rosh, a Rosh is the Ikar, person, a human being. What's the most important part of the human being? The head. the limbs and the other organs, the other parts of the body are tofel, are not as critical as the head. The head is what is in control. So when you have a calculation, what counts is the sum, is the total. That's what counts. The details are secondary. So it's a borrowed term. It's similar to the other idea, but in a different form. We're taking this word Rosh, which really means a head, and we're using it in a very unique way to use it as a borrowed, we borrow the word to use it for the word cheshbon, a calculation. You'll probably ask the question, so why couldn't the pasuk just say the word cheshbon? Isn't cheshbon a Hebrew word? And if it's not a Hebrew word, I'm sure we can find other words that represent a calculation. I don't know. Obviously, there's a lot more to it. But in this example, according to, we have two mahalchem, according to the Maral, and according to who's the one who says the word cheshbon is the Daz Zekeinim. The Ibn Ezra and the Maral are both saying two different ideas to explain why the Targum selected the word, translated the word Rosh as a calculation. Number one, to review, because when a person counts items, let's say for example you count dollar bills, something we can relate to, if you count cash, when you finish counting the cash, what do? You take a rubber band, you put it around the wad of bills, and you write down a number. If you count 100 single dollar bills on the top of the 100, the top dollar, after you put a rubber band around it, you write down 100 as an indication that in this wad of bills, there are 100 separate items. And the number is written on the top. It's not written in the middle. It's not written on the bottom. It's not written in hiding. You write, the mark is made on the very, very top. Therefore, we take the word Rosh, which means the top, and we use it to represent the concept of a calculation. This is the total number. The Maral does something very similar. The Maral says there's something called the total, and there's something called the individual items. The total is choshev, and the items are subordinate. They are less choshev. That's what makes up a human being. There's the rosh, that's what's in control, and then there are the limbs, which are not so choshev. So the sach hakol, the total, which includes all the parts, we borrow the word rosh, and that's what we use here in this pasuk to represent the concept of a calculation. Okay, let's go further. I'll come back when we finish all this. Purkan means you shall do a redemption. Okay, pidyon nafshon. When you make this calculation, make sure that everyone gives a machzis hashekel in order to redeem their soul from any suffering. Pidyon. This that the atonement is called shame lepidyon, is called a redemption. Kvar niska kvar b'mikra im koifer yushas olav v'nosan pidyon nafsh. This is very important. This is from the Ravam. Who is this? Who is he quoting over here? I can't read the copy. Is a horrible copy. This is from the Ravam. I don't know who the Ravam is. He brings a very nice pasuk im koifer yushas olav v'nosan pidyon nafshay. And this refers to an eved, a slave. If an animal kills a human being, if a person has an axe, and the axe gets loose, and kills a human being, the halacha is the owner of the axe has to pay koifer. What's koifer? Atonement. Atonement for being negligent and allowing your axe to roam the streets without protection. What is the atonement you pay? The value of the person's life. If this person were sold as a slave, how much would you receive? the amount that you'd receive for selling him as a slave is called the koifer. So we see in this pasuk this principle of koifer, yushas olav, if there is an atonement that will be set upon the master of the animal. Who is the one that is setting this atonement upon the master? The Beis Din. The Beis Din sees that you are guilty. If they declare and they decide that you are guilty for negligence in allowing your animal, your dangerous animal, to roam the streets unrestrained, the Beis Din will judge you, and they will decide that you are guilty, and they will impose, yushas means they will impose upon you a penalty of paying atonement for the tragedy that has occurred. And what is the, and that atonement will be for you, the nosan, you will give the pidyon, the redemption for your own soul. So what do we take out of this pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim? We take out that the word koifer is related to the word pidyon nafsha. And that's why in this pasuk, going back to the pasuk where it says, v'nosnu, each person shall give kofer. What is kofer? Kofer is the pidyon nafshay. It doesn't say over here the word pidyon nafshay. It doesn't say that. All it says here is the word kofer. The one that added the term pidyon nafshay is the Targum. The Targum says, what are you going to do? The yitnun givar, each man will give the porkan nafshay, which is the pidyon of his neshama. Excuse me, where in the world did the Targum get the word pidyon for the word koifer? What does koifer even, what does koifer mean? Koifer means atonement. It means atonement. It doesn't say here the word atonement in the Targum. Targum completely ignored the word atonement, and he exchanged it for the word pidyon. And the answer is, the Targum took this from Parashas Mishpatim regarding a situation where a person allowed his axe to roam the streets unprotected, unrestrained, and kill the human being, and Beis Din imposed the penalty of the nosan koifer nafshay. You will have to give the atonement, and there the pasuk says, what is koifer? It's pidyon nafshay. So basically, it's a pasuk in Chumash that teaches us the translation of the word koifer, and the Targum here is just helping us and putting two and two together to translate that word over here. Okay, now let's continue. And it says kisimne. Here's the repetition, kisimne, kasher. When you will go and you will count. Tifkoid, ki'ilu, when you will go and you will make the calculation. You make the calculation, okay? Ki'ilu loshna kasa b'fikotcha. Fine. Unglis and farashot is beis mil b'fkoid ki beis hazman ki beis ratzlon b'shas, at the time when you make the calculation. Kifiv ibn Ezra. Okay, that concludes the pasuk. Now let's take all this together. And then we go back to Rashi, and we're going to see that Rashi over here has what to say about this unkelus. So now that we learned this whole pasuk, let's review what we learned. Ki sisa. Sisa means lo sisa shema shav. Do not accept a false report. When you will accept, when it will be your desire to receive a report of the number of people in the of Klal Yisrael. I want to know how many people are in Klal Yisrael, so that for many reasons, when we go out and we come into Eretz Yisrael and we're going to divide the land, we have to know there's always a need to know numbers. Whatever, it doesn't even tell us why. It's not important why, but when the need will arise for you to know, to receive a report from the Pentagon of the number of people that are in the Jewish people, es rosh. What does it mean, rosh? The total sum. Don't go break it down into little teeny numbers. Give me the rosh. The rosh means give me, on the top of the report, you have a big stack of papers telling you how many people live in Flatbush, how many people live in Borough Park, how many people live in Williamsburg, how many live in Monroe, how many people live in Lakewood, how many people live on East 27th Street between the I and the dead end. You're going to want to know all these numbers. I don't want to hear all the break down the details. I just want to know the total sum. That's called Rosh. Bnei Yisrael, Lifkudehem, which is built upon the minute details. The way you're going to do this is as follows. V'nasan ish, each person, koifer. What is koifer? Pidyon nefesh. It's a very big chiddush what he says. That which automatically means you're in trouble. Because in the case where this pasuk comes from, the person to whom we apply the word koifer is a very bad person. You have a dangerous animal and you let the dangerous animal roam the streets. That's a terrible avera. You've terrorized people and a person lost his life. And now the owner of the animal has to bring atonement to atone for his soul. So the pasuk here is teaching you an incredible thing, that making this calculation is an avera. The very nature of taking a census in Klal Yisrael for the best intent is a sin. Even if you have a legal loophole how to do it, it's called a sin. You can't deny because it says V'nasnu ish koifer nafshoi. Everyone who's participating in this crime of being counted is guilty, just like a person has an animal and lets the animal roam the streets. There's an irresponsibility. And you have to redeem your neshama for this. You shall give something LaHashem, Bifkoid Oysam, when the act of the individual calculation is being made. V'lo yevohem negef, and if you'll do this, then you will not suffer death. Whew. So we're going over here for a person who went and he did an avera. He needs atonement. And the pasuk says that if you're not going to do this, then the consequences, the avera is so great, there'll be death when the individual counting is being made. Okay, that's a pretty strong step. That's pretty much all the things that we looked over here in the Targum. Again, the Yisrael ceases accept. Rosh is the total calculation. Lifkudehem is the detailed calculation. Koifer means atonement. And we don't want there to be death when this process takes place. Now, let's go back and look at Rashi now. The new look. A new look in Rashi. Rashi starts off, Kisisa Lashon Kabbalah, Kitarguma. Unbelievable. Rashi here, you know, how often does Rashi give Unkelus a compliment? Make a kiddush to Shabbos in shul with all different types of herring and shalant in honor of Rashi giving a compliment to Unkelus. Unreal. Okay. Kishatachboitz Lakabal, when you want to accept, skum. And notice Rashi is saying skum minyanam. Lodas kamehim. Now I'm assuming the word skum is the same thing as a cheshbon, right? The same the targum that translates the word rosh as a chushban, Rashi is translating the same thing as a cheshbon, right? Lekabel skum. Skum minyanam lodas to know kamahim. Okay, it doesn't seem like there's any argument. He's explaining. Al tinim lagol golas, do not count their head. Now, here's the trick. Why is Rashi saying the golgolas? The golgolas is almost tricking us because it says the word rosh. Rosh means the golgolas. Ki sisu, when you want to accept the skum of the Bnei Yisrael, don't count them the obvious way. The obvious way is count how many skulls there are, or gulgoyles. Rashi seems to be playing around a little with the word rosh. On the one hand, he says, lekabel skum minyanam, ladas kamhim, al timneim la gulgoyles. Don't count them according to their heads. Ela yitnu kol echad machzis hashekel, the timne count es hashkolim v'teida minyanam v'lo yebam negef. Why? Shaminyan sholei b'ayin hara. Rashi introduces over here this principle called the ayin hara. V'hadever bo le'olam. Dever is death. K'moshe motzin b'mei david. All right. So Rashi. The only thing that I want to play around with over here is that Rashi. I maybe want to suggest to you that Rashi wants to, this is a little bit of a drush, maybe not, maybe this is the pshat. Rashi really translates the word rosh as head, gilgoylas. Because Rashi says so. Rashi says beferish. Rashi says, kishetachpoetz lekabelskum minyam lodas kamehem, al timneim, don't count them la gilgoylas. Why do you throw that in? Why did Rashi throw that word in? Either other ways, Rashi, al timneim, don't count them, period. If Rashi would not hear the word l'gogoyles, we would know the difference, guaranteed. Why does he have to hear the word l'gogoyles, which means a rosh? Ella, you know, you do, yidnu kolecha machsa shegel. Perhaps, when Rashi is coming to disagree with the Targum regarding the translation of the word rosh. We suffered through the Ibn Ezra and through the Maral, that Rosh means when you go and you have a wad of dollar bills and you want to know how many dollar bills, you count them, and then on the top one, the Rosh, you write down 100. Or the Maral said, there's the Rosh and there are the legs, the arms. So what's more important? The Rosh. So there's the total and there are the parts. The total is the rosh, the parts are the legs. So therefore we borrow the word rosh to refer to the total sum. Who says this means that? Maybe Rashi means as follows. If you want to know, if you want to count, accept the number of how many heads, read it the way it is. Don't beat around the bush. I want to accept the total sum of skulls there are in the Jewish people according to their number. This is how you do it. The way you do it is everyone gives a machsa shekel. So the word rosh does it. Kisisa means you want to accept the total. The word seats according to Rashi is not just. Rashi didn't say the word cheshbon. Rashi said, you want to accept a number. What do you want to accept? So the Targum said, I want to accept the total number. Where is the total number in the pasuk? Oh, Esrosh, the total number. Really? Since when in this world does the word Esrosh mean the total number? So we have to bend backwards to figure this out. Rashi says to Unkelus, you know, you're on the right track. I like what you said, Kisis, you want to accept. What do you want to accept? Well, from the context of the Pasuk, it's not in the Pasuk. There are no words in the Pasuk that say what you're trying to accept, but we can figure it out. Not every word has to be in the pasuk. We can figure out that what you're trying to accept is the total sum of the Jewish people. How are you going to go and get the total? The pasuk says, "V'nasnu ish, each man will give koifer nafsho, he'll give atonement, like the Targum said, because of ayin hara l'Hashem, b'fkoid sum when you count them, so that no one should die. There shouldn't be a dever when they're counted." But Rashi refuses to accept the Targum's translation that the word Rosh means cheshbon. Rosh means, I want to know how many skulls, how many heads there are in the Jewish people. And the way you're going to do it is indirectly. And when you do it indirectly by each person giving a machzis ha-shekel, then you'll know at the end of the day how many skulls there are in the Jewish people. So you don't have to say Rosh. Targum, try over here desperately, Rabbi Yisai, to make a machlokes trying to make trouble here. That's what we're trying to do. Targums are ready to kabel when you will accept Yos Chushban, the Bnei Yisrael. The Chushban. Chushban, where does that word come? Oh, Rosh. Rosh? Maral. Ibn Ezra will tell you why the word Rosh is translated as Chushban. Rashi doesn't do that. Rashi says, you want to know here the Ligul Goyles. Rosh. That's what I want to know. So this is how you do it. Kisisa, Lashon Kabbalah, I want to accept. Kishatachboitz Lekabel Skum, Minyanam, I want to accept, Lekabel. Okay, that's Kisisa. All of this now, these words, Skum, Minyanam, Ladas Kamehem, all of that is not part of the Pasuk. None of these words here appear in the Pasuk. This is implied from the entire sentence. What do you really want? You really want to be able to count Timnam Ligul Goyles. So let me tell you how to go about doing it. The way you do it is each person gives a Machtis HaShekel to avoid the Ayin Hara, so no one should die in a Magefa. And then when you'll have, you'll count all the number of half coins that you collect. Oh, now you will have achieved, mission accomplished, you will have accepted the Rosh B'nai Yisrael, the number of skulls that there are in the Jewish people. You can know how many yarmulkes to order online for the Jewish people. They'll make them in China. You'll know how to order. You'll know how to order how many skulls you have. So it has to be over here. It will appear over here that there's a machlokes. And now, you see, this is just the point. This thing we go back to. Rashi, we're not going to make a kiddush to Shabbos. There will not be a kiddush to Shabbos in honor of Rashi complimenting Ungulus. You know why? Because Rashi didn't compliment Ungulus. In fact, Rashi argues with Ungulus. And Rashi always thought, if Rashi agrees with Ungulus, you know how he compliments him? Silence. Silence is golden. Whenever Rashi is quiet and he doesn't translate a section of the pasuk or doesn't say anything, you know what that means? Check out Ungulus. Ungulus knows exactly what he's doing. Ungulus knows the correct translation. When Rashi mentions the Targum, there's something really wrong. There's something that's bothering Rashi. Lashon Kabbalah ki targumoi. If Rashi mentions the Targum, we had this before a few times. What Rashi means to say is, the Targum does two things very often. Number one, Rashi, the Targum tells us an approach, a general approach to understand the Pasuk, a general theme. You can take a pasuk and you can interpret the pasuk many ways. When the Targum gives us a trend, tells us something, the Targum is giving us an approach how to understand the pasuk. And in addition, the Targum also likes to translate for us each word, one word at a time, and define each word individually. So in the Rashi, we had this already a few times. The Rashi says, "Kit targumo," we found the pattern. More often than not, what it means is, I accept 100% the approach of the Targum in interpreting this pasuk. But I disagree with the precise translation of each individual word in the pasuk as to how the Targum achieve that interpretation. And that's exactly what he's doing over here. The whole pasuk is kisisa, if you want to accept, I agree with the Targum. Targum over here is saying you want to accept the total number of the Jewish people based upon the calculation, the intricate details of the calculation. This is how you go about it doing it. Everyone should give machsa shekel for atonement v'chul v'chul. Rashi says, excellent, I'm with you 100%. But the way you got to that interpretation is a little bit off, because the way you translated the individual words are not correct. You said something bizarre. You said the word Rosh means the total calculation. Whoever told you that? The word Rosh means a head, literally, Gulgoilas. And what the Pasuk means, if you want to accept the number of heads that there are in the Jewish people based upon a detailed calculation, this is the way you're going to go about doing it. By everyone giving a machs, a shekel, and us then counting all of the heifer coins. Okay, so this is an idea which we've done a few times, and I think this really fits into the pattern. When Rashi says kitargumo, watch out. He doesn't mean to compliment the targum. He means to say you're right, but you're wrong. Sometimes Rashi flat out says to the targum, you're dead wrong in everything that you said. And sometimes when Rashi compliments the targum, if he's complimenting the targum, you know something is wrong. He means you're right in one respect, but you're wrong in the details. And that's exactly what he does. The key word here is lugalgoilas, and the word rush. Okay, that concludes this pasuk. I thought that was worthy of something, that idea. It's already 8:02. It's already time. I'll read the pasuk. Zayidnu kol eva pakudim machsa shem shel hakodesh. Everyone has to give machsa shekel. Eshrim geira hashekel. This is a very important pasuk. What exactly is a machtsis hashekel? Torah here is coming to tell you numbers. We can't figure this out. Eshrim geira hashekel. A whole shekel is 20 geira. What is a geira? It's a great pasuk. You have to see this tomorrow. What exactly is a geira? It's a barley seed. A barley seed. Okay, this is a very, very, very good. Asrin mo'in sila. What's a mo'in? Okay, we have to go see this tomorrow. 20 geira is a shekel. A half of that would be 10. Machsa shekel truma l'Hashem. And over here, we're going to have over here a Rashi, which will go on a little bit. Okay, so we're really out of time. So Mirchem, tomorrow we're going to learn the Rashi and the Targum on understanding what exactly is a machsa shekel. Rabbi Isai, thank you so much for coming and listening. Have a wonderful evening. All the best to all of you.